Frank, I'd like to go back a little bit and talk about your parents in particular. When you think about your father, what qualities of character come to mind?
Well, Pop was, I know the older boys didn't really have as much contact and communication with him as I did. I was lucky in that I came along at a time when he was making a living easier and didn't have to be thinking constantly about how to make a living. And he would sit and talk with me about the humor of being in the wrong Marion and the experiences with customers. And he had a very good outlook on life because he had a very good responsiveness with all the people he did business with. They were nice to him because he was nice to them, and he was nice to them, and they were good to him, and he knew their family. But his absolutely amazing educational process, self-education, I just never ceased to be amazed at it. It was just really, it was amazing to hear him talk so casually about something that looked to me like an absolute impossibility, to go into a strange country and learn their language, how to read and write and everything. His health, when his health started to fail, he was, you know, in those days, Mom would make wonderful, she was a wonderful cook, but we were eating pure cholesterol. You know, when she made the chicken soup every Friday, all the fat would go in there. As a matter of fact, when she had any fat left over from any kind of meat, she would make gribbiness. Gribbiness is what you got left after you get all the oil out of it, the fat out of it. And she would cut it in small pieces, and we would eat gribbiness like popcorn, which was like eating pure cholesterol, fat, you know. And Pop ate a lot, you know. Later we learned a little bit more about better eating habits, but Pop died at the age of 65 from a heart attack. I'm sure that if the truth were known, he probably was running a tremendously high cholesterol rate, because that was the way the people cooked in the old days. The more schmaltzy it was, the better it was. She made some a dish called the Varenicus and Zovern Russell and the kind of stuff that it's just floating in grease, but you didn't realize it because, you know, grease doesn't taste bad if it's hot and it's not coagulated yet. And she would use a lot of onions and wonderful seasoning. And her big complaint was always that, look, I got more food left than I had when I started. And for many, many years, we could not get Mom to serve the soup at the beginning of the meal. That was always supposed to be to wash everything down. And after you got through with eating, well, then she brought out the big pot of the chicken soup or whatever, the knedlach, the pasta products and everything. And by that time, you know, to eat soup at the beginning of the meal, you eat a little less of the rest of it. But when you eat all the rest of it, then you got to have the soup. It was just too much. But anyway, we're getting away from the question. I had greater communication with Pop than any of the kids, because Pop and I would sit on the porch and we would talk about this, that, and the other. And he always had overcome. He was very forgiving, actually. He was quite annoyed and disturbed at the fact that the people that were so friendly and with one another in Russia overnight, because of an edict from the Tsar, had to become anti-Semitic. Of course, you know, you can always find excuses for people. The Germans could say that we only did what we were ordered, and if we would have not followed orders, we would have been severely punished, and you can rationalize all kinds of things. But Pop was able to keep his head above all of the tragedies of prejudice, because He just had a very great way with people. He trusted them and helped them and befriended them until it became a two-way street. And I'm sure that he made a lot of potential anti-Semites the reverse. He made them realize that the Jews are good people, and he helped a lot of people. And he kept track of their relations and their illnesses and their problems. But beyond that, what can I say? I'll remember a thousand things to add to this down the road, I suppose.
Was he a very religious person?
Yes and no. He was the president of the shul. We had an Orthodox shul in Marin. And when it come time to have bar mitzvah, I got to add these little side windows to get a clear focus on what I'm trying to tell you. But we didn't have a rabbi, obviously, so all the older men were like rabbis. But we did have a shechet. He came to town to kill the chickens, kosher. So the shechet would teach the kids the Hebrew for the bar mitzvah. And the shechet that taught me got a little annoyed with me because I want to know what do you say? What am I saying here? I want to know what I'm saying. I want to know what this means. He says, how can you can try and go chop a tea kettle? You just do what I tell you. You just say it like I say it. But I'd like to know what I'm saying. Well, as it develops, that kind of repartee caused me to not be interested in Hebrew because I didn't know what I was saying. And I didn't want to say what I didn't know what I was saying. And I never did take too much of an interest in Hebrew because I was never taught the translation. But he was the kind of a guy that you did it his way, and that's the only way there was. But as we grew up, the kids, Pop wisely recognized that we're not going to be like he was in the shul. And believe it or not, Pop, who was the president of the shul and the one of the religious leaders of the community, was also one of the people who helped get a reformed rabbi, a reformed congregation started in Marion, because he was afraid that we would go from, a little bit like Israel today. You know, the people that reject the religious extremism in Israel are nothing religious-wise. And he recognized this in our family that far back and helped form the Reform Synagogue so that the kids would not be detached from the Jewish religion. If Pop was living in Israel, he would have had an entirely, if he would have been involved in politics there, he would not permit the Orthodox extremists to keep the Reformed Jews out of Israel. Right now we've got a situation in Marion where we've got a Reformed Israeli rabbi, which is rare. But in talking with him, which is very interesting, he was turned off by the extremism and by the inability to have any flexibility and was going into the nothingness of religion in Israel and was nothing until his wife, an American girl, talked him into, why don't you look into the Reform congregation? You know, there's one Reform congregation in Israel, and you know, they make life miserable for him. But Pop recognized this way back then, and he helped for one at that stage to recognize that it was either this or nothing was pretty adept, I would say, pretty ahead of his time.
When he wasn't working, what did he enjoy doing?
Well, he would like to play pinochle with his friends, and he always liked to have people over to carry on a political debate or a review debate. He liked to go on picnics with the family. He never had time to do much of anything else, but he wanted to travel. Mom didn't. It was easier for him to travel than it was for Mom, because she was fixing her habits and got her system deregulated when she went away from the things she's accustomed to at home, and she worried about cooking and taking care of the house and this, that, and the other. And on two or three occasions, Pop went on trips, went to visit the relations in Canada when Esther was living there, and sent us all cards from Lake Louise and Banff and that area there. And Mom didn't want to go on a trip like that. But they worked it out. They each did their thing, and Mom would help out and help run the store when he was gone, and he would always send all the kids different things from the occasional trip. He didn't do it very often, but it was interesting because there was just not too much other diversion for him. He was a vociferous reader, whether it be English or Hebrew, and liked people and liked to talk to people and liked to get in debates with people on different subjects. And it was too bad that he didn't know about cholesterol, because he was entering the ripe age where he could do more things. That's when his health gave out, and he just had a heart attack and died all of a sudden.
What skills do you think you learned from your father?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got three kids, three wonderful kids, that I would like to interest one of them in following in my footsteps in the business. I learned from my father, I didn't even think about that, because Pop had a dry goods store, and he had four sons, and he would dearly have loved for one at least to take an interest in his business. But for some unknown reason, none of us did, none of us would, and Pop would always rationalize the whole thing, and he would tell Mom about these things, and Mom would tell us what he said, and we had a communication going that way, because a lot of times when Pop was working the store, when we were younger, we were asleep already, so we got to spend most of our time with Pop on weekends. But Pop, in so many words, said, "You've got to do what you like to do or you're not going to do it good." Just that simple. And I appreciated that because I was the one that was closest to being converted to his dry goods business by virtue of the fact that I ran some successful sales in Sweetshire and Fairmount and went over there on my bicycle 5 miles to Sweetshire to collect a dollar from this one and $2 from this one. And he thought I was going to take an interest in the business, but none of us took any interest in that business, and he never pushed it and never forced us. And I've done the same thing with my kids, and I'm glad because I think they're all doing the thing they like best. And if you do it, if you do the thing you like best, you're going to do your best, you know. We never could understand why Jill wanted to get her master's in French. And we knew that she had more abilities in the artistic activities that she's doing. So she became adept at speaking French and went to France as a student, and even was thinking in French, became so expert at it. And then she asked herself the question, what did I do this for? What did I need this for? I don't want to go in the Foreign Service. I don't want to be an interpreter. I don't want to do this. And it's great. Someday she'll get a lot of pleasure out of it. The French is there in her head. It'll come back when. But she made her own choice, and she wound up doing what we knew she was going to be good at anyway. And it's been that way with all three of the kids. So that's Pop's heritage.
How did you feel towards him?
I felt closer and warmer to Pop than any of the other kids because I had more contact and more of his time because he was more making an easier living by the time I came along. But it was a good, warm relationship. He was a disciplinarian, but a reasonable and a fair one.
In what ways are you most like your father, and in what ways are you most different?
Well, I've learned the ethics of from my father. I guess I am most like him in the necessity for a high degree of ethics, and turn the other cheek, and don't take for granted because someone says the wrong thing that they are the way you think they are for what they said that one time. Give them a chance to learn and. Mom and Pop were both that way. Assuming your next question was about Mom, but yeah. But when we got out of school and came home on the weekend, and Mom was making the fresh challah and had some gribbiness and so forth, she was delighted to have us bring friends in She got to know a lot of people who got to know her, and even though she herself recognized that whenever she referred to the goyim, it was the Chazasher goyim, those terrible people, nevertheless, she made a lot of wonderful friends, and people that got to know her loved her. And it was the same way with Pop. They were good people. They were courageous people. They had to be courageous to do what they did in coming over here. And they finally got away from most of these prejudices, recognizing that there are a few bad apples in every barrel, but most of the apples were good.
Can you describe her personality a little more?
Her personality? Well, how would I describe that? I don't know. She was just a good, hard-working gal that her whole life was given over to her children. I remember a funny thing about Mom, when with the children, you know, they didn't have baby foods in those days, and I remember she used to, when the kids were old enough to start eating food, she would take the food and chew it up for us and give it to us. We never could quite get over that as we got older, realized, but we did a pretty good job when they asked Mom, how come you and Mr. Maidenberg are average heights and all four of your sons are so tall. She said, it's because I made such good fried chicken. That's why they're so tall. Good sense of humor, genuinely good person, and hardworking, and didn't want to get involved in too many things. It's really too bad. She was a bright lady who, if she would have had an education, would have made a great difference in the lives of the whole family, but she practically had no education except self-taught, and I don't think Mom even read any Hebrew, but she got along and she raised four pretty nice kids.
Which of her qualities do you think you inherited from her?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. I have to think about it, but I guess Mom and Pop both combined to give the inherited qualities, the friendliness of doing to others as though you were the others. They exemplified that, and if the opportunity presented itself to befriend somebody that had befriended you while they were both ready, willing, and anxious to do it, and make us all aware of it. But beyond that, I can't be any more specific.
Did she have a strong religious faith?
No. But she, yes and no. Yes, from the standpoint of the, we had a strictly kosher home. We had four sets of dishes. I helped unwrap the Pesach dishes, which were all wrapped up and put away, So yes, we were religious. We had a kosher home. Little by little, we got away from it because before we didn't have any way to get kosher meats in Marion, and we got away from those things. But for a long time, I remember koshering the chickens over the gas burners and stinking up the whole house. You know, burning off the feathers and all the work that we went to on Pesach to take all the dishes and put them away, wash them and wrap them up and put them away and bring out all the other sets. They were customs, and I guess they were customs more than religious fervor, you know. But
when did she die?
About 1960. She was 84 years old. I think it was in the 60s. I remember the exact date. I should, but I don't.
Around 1969?
Yeah, that's about right.
Was that hard for you?
Yes, it was, but Mom was living alone at that time, we were all going over there visiting, and she was always cooking meals for all the kids, and she was loving the grandchildren, and the grandchildren were loving her, and it was a very warm, nice relationship. She didn't always get along with all the daughter-in-laws. Some of them she got along real good. She loved Nan's mother very much, and Nan loved her, but Nan and my mother, didn't hit it off real good because Mom had her ways of doing things and Nan had her way of doing things, and if they collided every once in a while, why, you know, they just they had their occasional differences, but she was always very understanding, and if she didn't agree with any of the daughters-in-law, why, she would just go along quietly and not make a big issue out of it. She was a good psychologist.
Were your parents active in community affairs in Marion?
In the shul, but not so much in the other affairs. Although Pop would be when they had church sales in Gas City, and there were his customers, and they come in to ask him to help. He would give them different bits of merchandise to sell in their sale, and he was civically minded in that regard, but never had time to really get actively involved.
Were your parents involved in politics at all?
To a degree, there was always a liberal inclination. You know, people of that era, I think, got their politics from their religious readings and training, and of course, as we know, the religious teachings of the Torah and of the prayer books are lean heavily on the liberal side, and we all inherited that pretty well, I think. And matter of fact, I got one son that's the only Jewish senator in the Indiana Senate. Needless to say, a Democrat, although I consider myself an independent. I like to vote, and Pop would encourage that too, I'm sure he would, and that is to vote for the best man, regardless of party. So my two favorite senators are one Republican senator at the national level and one son that's a Democrat senator in the state level.
What did you look like as a child?
Well, that's a sort of an interesting question. That must have been planted there by somebody. No?
No.
Okay. I really think, from things Mom said, more or less confirmed, that they were anxious to have a daughter, and that's why they decided to try once more. And they got me. And I've got some pictures where I have curls, and I'm wearing a dress, and I'm about 5 years old already. So I was sort of the, of course, it was, you know, that wasn't so unusual in those days. Kids wore the, like the midi blouse, the sailor outfits. But I was really dressed like a little girl, and my hair was done up like a little girl. If anybody was going to be inclined that way, I would have had a good reason to be, but I guess it doesn't work that way. But I was the little girl of the family, dressed whenever the pictures were taken. I had a dress, and for some reason or other, I remember some of those pictures being light curls hanging down. And I just vaguely remember it, but I kid about it and get kidded about it when we have the pictures out. And
did it bother you as a child?
I don't recall it bothering me, no. I don't recall it bothering me a bit. It was understandable. If you had three boys, you'd like to have a girl. You know, okay, it made sense. But if you got a boy or a kid, you got a boy. I think that's the way it was in our household. It was just sort of logic and horse sense, and agreeable on both sides, you know.
Did you suffer any serious illness or injuries during childhood?
Not that I recall, no. We all had the childhood diseases, and if somebody got one of the things that measles or something, or mumps or something, I guess Mom would say, her philosophy was that you're going to have it anyway, so you sleep in this room with so-and-so tonight, and if we were going to get them, let's get them all over with at the same time, you know.
What were some of the diseases people were really scared of getting when you were a child?
Chickenpox. That was I remember hearing that being talked about, but the measles and the mumps and the things that we're all accustomed to hearing about. Of course, you get a lot of things today. You get a immunization, you know. But we're a very average, typical family when it comes to things like that, I think.
Do you remember any of the home remedies your mother used when you were sick?
Well, of course, the main central remedy was chicken soup. You just got to have more soup. You got to have, well, and when we had colds or things like that, why, the soup didn't taste bad and liquids are good. But Mom was really convinced that there were medicinal qualities in chicken soup. And she pretty well convinced all of us, because if I don't feel good, the first thing I'd like for my wife to do is to make some chicken soup. I hope to like chicken soup. Maybe that's why, too. But there were other remedies. I remember she used to use a lot of Vicks rub. She would rub our chests with the Vicks Vapor Rub, and any of us. And she used to have some kind of a hot compress with mustard or different things. But I don't recall that there's any real interesting, freakish, imagined cures, you know, but they believed in the doctors and doctors' advice, and they were a far cry from the religious beliefs in not going to do this or that.